throwing snowballs at the pastor's kid. And ever since then, we've always had to keep them under close watch, and the person's 45 years old now. That's nonsense. Yes, they were a member. Yes, they are in good standing. We love them very much and are praying for the best of their best for their future with you folks. And very simple, very easy. Now, we've got an exact form. I didn't just quote it, but it should be very succinct. Should be very specific. We don't need to go into grand tales of the background. We don't sit there and, all right, well, let's talk to the treasurer to see exactly how much we can ballpark they've given over the last, how much they give us now. We don't do that. That would be wrong. But just, yes, they were a member. Yes, they are in good standing. And something along the lines of our desire for them, our love for them. When we try to do anything else, again, we are doing the Lord's business in a playful way. And you're going to end up hurting people. When you start giving sideline opinions, you're going to begin to hurt people. What we must do is only speak in biblical terms when we speak about each other. Speak kindly, but also tell the truth. You know, well, what about, hey, we get a letter for Brother So-and-so, and Brother So-and-so has been, you know, he was a member, you know, 20 years ago, and we had to exclude him because he robbed a bank and shot the teller and went to jail for a while. We get a letter, hey, we understand he used to have membership there. What do you think? Not a member, under discipline. We are welcome for them to return, make things right, and then we will grant a letter. We don't go into grand details, right? We're not, none of that. It is either yes or no based on their current status within the church. Now, why is this important? As in a Baptist church, we all have decision-making power in how we do things. I was talking to somebody just recently, and they didn't quite understand the way we do business. They said, well, can't you as the pastor just say that's what we're doing? I go, no. I can say this is what I think we should do, but each member has a vote. All right, those in the pew have one vote each. Me in the pulpit, I have one vote each. That's it. So we vote together on these things. To have somebody as a member, you're taking on that responsibility. And if you've proven yourself to be irresponsible, we can no longer have you doing the business of the church. So why then would I grant a letter knowing that somebody is not responsible enough to handle what we're doing here? You know, we catch them in some gross moral catastrophe, something awful that they are doing, and they are unrepentant of it. Then, of course, what are we going to do? Well, did you or did you not get in trouble for domestic violence last week? Oh, well, yeah, I did, but you know what? A man's home is his castle, and it's none of your business. You're right. You are no longer any of our business. And we come into the church, and we exclude. They're unrepentant of it. Now they come in, and they say, hey, listen, I want to get some counseling. My wife's going to be staying over here while I get some counseling, and I go through this, and we go through that. And under a certain given period of time, this is what we would like the future to be, but I messed up. And I've got some things I've got to pay for. And I've got some things that I've got to do. That's a different animal altogether. Provided they go step by step and handle that business. You fall off of that business. You come in to tell me a sweet story. I'm not, you know, we'll stand by. We'll stand by it. There must be some kind of fruit of repentance there. Now, so we're particular about it. We're succinct about it. We're particular about it. We want to only deal in the facts. You know, Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am. Only give them the necessities. Hey, you know, when they were in high school, they were dating around with this person. No, you leave all that out. Were they in good standing? Yes or no? Were they a member there? Yes or no? Very easy. And then the third way. That we can add into the church is what we would call restoration. So let's take the, for instance, of the guy who went, he robbed a bank, he shot the teller, he did his time, he comes back, and he says, I have messed my life up, but I have repented, I am sorry, I would like to rejoin the church. And we bring him forward, and it all comes out. I had a drug addiction. This was going on. I'm very sorry. I made very foolish mistakes. And we put it to the church. Do we forgive and restore this member? Yes or no? And that is a very important process. There are many people that say, well, that is very intrusive. It is very uncomfortable. Apologies are always uncomfortable. But if I am a part of a group and I represent that group, I owe that group an apology when I embarrass it. I do. That's my personal feeling. That's me talking for me. I owe them an apology. That is Bible. I must then go forward and say, hey, listen, I have wronged the church. I have wronged God, and I wish to make amends. It is better to make amends than to live in sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. And it says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. What that's saying is you should forgive them. I want you to imagine the deepest, darkest of your sins. And I want you to imagine coming forward before your family and friends. I want you to imagine coming and making that apology. Hey, listen, I was doing this. It is wrong against God. Deeply, I am sorry. And I want you to imagine people looking at you, the people that you love, the people that you care for, the people that you have fellowshiped for the last few decades with. And they looked at you and they said, no, we no longer think that you are a good enough person. You would shatter. You would shatter. If somebody comes forward with a contrite heart, if somebody comes over with an apology, and it's a sincere apology, by all means, it is our responsibility to apply forgiveness, because after all, each and every one of us here, if you are saved, you yourself have gone to God with a mountain of sin, with nothing but sorrow in your heart over it, and when you asked him to forgive you, he did so. He did not make you jump through hoops. He did not pick at you. There were no jokes about it between you and God. He doesn't doesn't sit there and tease and taunt you. As a matter of fact, it says all of heaven rejoices when someone gets right. So by all means, please come forward. Please obtain this forgiveness. Please let me forgive. And we ought to have forgiven them long ago. You know, I knew somebody who'd gotten into some trouble, refused to apologize for it. And they came up to me at the grocery store and they said, now I know you probably don't like me very much. I wrapped my arms around them. I said, you guys don't like me. I love you very much. I'm so glad to see you. How are you? Are you okay? Now, why could I do that? That thing that they did was against me. No, I love you. I forgave you a long time ago. Why? Because God told me to. And now I can sit here and I can see you at the grocery store and I can love you very much. I don't have to walk around with this. That's the kind of freedom that forgiveness gives you, is I can have that love for folks without having to sit there and look across a grocery store or a bookstore or a restaurant and go, oh man, here they are. You believe that? Look at them. Kind of ruins your whole night, but you put a little bit of forgiveness in there. Oh, look who it is. You know, I ought to go say hi. I ought to go see how they're doing. Right? And there it says right there in Scripture, That one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. When forgiveness is denied, we crush them. Now we're talking a real repentant heart. Now somebody comes up and it's like a 5-year-old got caught punching his brother. I'm sorry. The pastor said I gotta say I'm sorry. Well, that's a different story. That's a different story. But you come forward and you say, hey, I embarrassed myself, I hurt people, and I'm sorry. That's going to be a different animal altogether. So by restoration. Now, I will say this. A restored member should not be restored to any office, stewardship, or other position for a specified period of time following restoration. Now, that's where it gets rough. You know, you get somebody and they've got tons of responsibilities. Maybe they're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe they handle some of the administration of the church. And they come forward and they say, hey, listen, you know, I've done this wrong thing. This is after exclusion. Let's say 2 weeks go by they come in and they say, all right, well, this is ridiculous. I've done wrong. I shouldn't have done this. The Lord gets to their heart. They come forth. There's going to be a cooling off period here. Now, that's not to punish. That is to handle God's business properly. Now, if I came over and I pushed you over, you'd be shaky for a little bit, right? If something big happened to you, you'd be shaky for a little bit. And what would you want? You would want time to get your balance back. That is what this is for. To give them their balance back. And for us to watch and to see if that repentance was true. You know, they come back next week and they're like, hey, listen, I got in trouble for embezzling money at work again. We might not have you collect the tithe. You just hold off. Again, not a punishment, not a shame, not an embarrassment. And it should never be seen as such. In our pride, we may see it as such. But that's not it. Let me see you get your equilibrium back. Let me see you get your balance back. And then we as a church will sit there and say, all right, let's toss that back over to them, or let's not. And of course, there are some things where perhaps you do that, and the nature of what you've done, the nature of the crime, is in line with the business that you are doing for the church. You might be retired from that. You might be held back from that. Why? Just to make it right. Just for the sake of making things without question. You can't be accused of doing something if you're nowhere near it. All right, no person should be restored to membership when the church is conducting or about to conduct a church administration hearing or meeting where controversial or potentially divisive matters are being considered. I'll give you a for instance. It's a very real for instance, but it's one I've given you before. A member had passed away and they gave vast sums of money and their property over to the church. And the church was having a meeting to decide what to do with this property. It was a bar, by the way, and the church didn't want to own a bar. So they're trying to decide what to do. And would you believe that people who were both under exclusion and people who haven't been to church for quite some time all decided that that would be the meeting that they would come back for? And they're, hey, I'd like to be a member again. You're like, yeah, we're about to make about $1 million. Of course you would want to be a member again. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to bulldoze it, sell the land? And decisions to make. And of course, everybody wants to come in for it, right? Now, let's say you've got two church members. They're going for the same position in the church. Hey, listen, the church, whatever position is open, I would really like to get into that position. I want to be this, I want to be that. So what I'll do is I'll get on the phone to a bunch of people who really, really like me, who've been under discipline for the church. We'll get them to come back, rejoin, and when the vote pops up, well, here I come into the business. You'll get that when it's time to pick a pastor, a treasurer, a clerk, a deacon, whatever. Oh, we absolutely have to pack it in there, and it becomes more of a political debate than taking care of the business of the church. Right? Nothing we do here in this building ought to be because we want the glory for it.
Amen.
Okay? Doing the Lord's work is hard. And it takes lots of responsibility. And under no circumstances should we be doing that so that we can wear a title. I just assume we didn't have titles, except it'd be hard to know who's doing what if we didn't have them. Right, but it's a stack of responsibilities. A title is the home of a responsibility. It is not the home of pride. Right? This is the work that I do. All right, so restoration, and there's going to be certain things there. Well, what happens if somebody comes in and they've got a genuine heart, and because we're about ready to vote for something and you hold them off, what happens? Well, if they have a genuine heart, they're not going to go anywhere. They won't go anywhere. Would you? If you messed up and you were sorry and I looked you in the eye and I said, listen, we'll vote to restore your membership after this great big thing we've got going on. We're going to handle this business first, and then we'll vote to restore you. But for right now, just know that you've got all of our forgiveness. We're in good company here. Keep coming, but we're not going to take a vote until after this big one is done. You wouldn't go anywhere.
That's right.
You might be a little curious. You might be a little frustrated. Well, I want to get it done now. This thing's weighing over my head. But you'll wait. You'll wait, and so will they. If the heart is genuine, Right? It is a heart that seeks church membership should be a heart that desires that relationship with God first and foremost.
Amen.
Right? When people walk out of a church, it is not for any other reason than for them walking away from God. And they most likely did that weeks prior, weeks to months prior.
Amen.
Right? If people come back, it ought not be because they got over whatever it is that I said or got over whatever it is that you said, or they think that the atmosphere has cooled and everybody's forgotten about what they've done. No, it should be, I've wronged God. I want to get right with Him again. That ought to be the desire. Everything I do concerning my church membership, especially its restoration, ought to be about my relationship with God. Now, there are other forms that people are using today. And they're heretical to bring people into the church. First off would be a statement of Christian experience. So if I come in or I write a letter to the pastor, hey, pastor, this is my Christian experience. I was saved and this happened and that happened. And we go about that, we turn that in. And someone will sit there and say, all right, that qualifies. That's not how it happened in the Bible. That's not what we can do now. In that particular case, you know, commonly today we would say we take them by statement. We take them by statement. And Bill and Bonnie, they remember this. We couldn't take you guys by statement because that church disbanded. It was gone. There was nowhere to send a letter to. So could we sit there and take them by statement? Well, the church membership isn't anywhere right now. And we could sit there and get into a philosophical debate, but to be honest with you, we just took the easy route. Throw them in the baptismal tank. Ain't going to ruin anything. You're not going to wash away the previous baptism and disrespect the guy and the people that baptized you the first time. No, come forward, do it again. As a matter of fact, back in Baptist history, that's often what they would do. If somebody disappeared for a long period of time and they came back with this or that happened, they would make them be rebaptized. Right? Go ahead, let's make that public profession again just so we know that you're being serious here. So I struggle to take someone on statement. It is a very difficult thing to do because that would imply that there's no in route from the church. Now, the only for instance I could give where it would make me a little uncomfortable and I'd have to pause for a second would be let's say there was a problem between me and another pastor, and there was a lot of disagreement between us. And one member went from their church, and they came up here. And we were to reach out to them for a letter, and they said, hey, listen, we're not doing a letter for you until you remove that guy you got in the pulpit. That would be wrong on their part, unless there's actual heretical thing about me. That would be wrong on their part. In which case, I would still approach those people and say, well, perhaps baptism is going to be the best option for you. Without disrespecting that church, without disrespecting that pastor, I just struggle to take someone on statement because I have no idea what's going on behind those closed doors. I have no idea. For all I know, you were excluded yesterday, and we're going to bring you in, and you have business to do over there. Right? You got to get that right before you can move on. And that's always been the biblical response. So taking by statement has always been a difficult thing. The other one would be, you know, what happens if there was a church split and we were unaware of it? You know, that's something that, again, not that we need to know specifically to know their business, but to know exactly what's going to happen if we were to send that letter. Well, you can't send it. We're so broken up right now. You wouldn't get anything back. Well, in that case, perhaps you should go, help cool the temperature, and then come back. If there's issues within the church, the answer is not to split apart and run. The answer is for everyone to get down on their knees, pray to the Lord, and make things right. And after that, if moves need to take place, let moves take place, but be a part of the solution. Don't run from the problem. Another one, I talked about this one, a candidate not sending, or candidate's previous church refusing to send a letter, or just not sending a letter. That would be one of the reasons why people would take by statement. Just again, not something I'm willing to throw the dice on. Then the other one would be, hey, the candidate has been away from the Lord. You know, I was saved, I was part of this church, and I've just been away for a while. Well, we need to know what's going on there. How do we help you fix it? Because again, you got to fix that problem before you come over here and join with us. We've got to make things right. Again, the whole purpose is, am I right with God in every facet? So before I can go join another church, I have to make sure that I am right here. And if I were to sit there and I were to say, hey, let's take this person on statement, we are going against the biblical command for us to make things right in our conflicts before we move on. Right? I have to go and make those things right. And I can't sit there and say, all right, well, here's a loop around. No, you've got to go back. We're out of time now, but ultimately, it's very important that we understand these things, not just because it'll make a pastor angry if we were to bring in a member that was theirs, but because you're refusing their ability, or not refusing, but acquiescing to their ability to come back and do things right, or we're denying that, or we're giving them a loop around to not have to come back and make things right. They ought to make things right. I'm not right with God if my business isn't right with other people. I need to get that taken care of. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father,